called us to freedom, that God has, in saving us, made it possible for us to live like free people. But you know, it's hard when you try to start living like free people because you spend so much time living like slaves. And learning to be a free person is just not easy sometimes. Last week, we started talking about learning to live like free people who are freed so that they can behave responsibly. And what a tremendous blessing that is. Galatians, the third chapter, beginning at verse 24, or beginning at verse 23, the Apostle Paul says this: before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law, the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, was a tutor to bring us to Christ. Remember we said that's the word paedagogon? It was our paedagogon to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. After faith has come, we're no longer under a tutor. But you know, when you're not under the tutor anymore, learning to behave like free people and learning to not be under the tutor is a difficult thing. Just to review, we talked about how when the Old Testament Jews were under the law, they identified 613 laws that they had to keep. They went through the Old Testament. The rabbis counted up all of the thou shalts and the thou shalt not, and they came up with 613 laws that they had to keep. Now, those laws were enforced not just by the relationship that they had with God, but they were enforced by a theocratic state. If you didn't keep the Passover, the king would make you keep the Passover. That's the point of being under the paedagogon, being under the tutor. That's not a real pleasant way to be, and most of us, I think, understand what it's like to begin to chafe under the thumb of the tutor when we really do want to be sons. That was just a shadow. That was not the real thing that God had intended for people. And it was a system that was enforced largely through punishment. Now we get to be sons, and being a son means that there are fewer rules or a different kind of rules. We'll talk a little bit about that this morning. It means that we don't have to worry about the enforcer who's going to come and make us do what God wants us to do. And we have all the promises, and the most important promise that we have is forgiveness. When we were under the paedagogon, when we were under the Old Testament system, and when I say we, none of us are Jews, but when people were under that Old Testament system, they were in essence slaves, but they're freed in Christ. And now we get to be sons, and we get to behave responsibly. Now let's think a little bit about some concrete ways that this worked out in the Old Testament. If you were a Jew, you were required three times, if you were a male Jew, let's say it that way. If you were a male Jew, you were required three times every year to go to the tabernacle. And after the tabernacle had been replaced by the temple, you were required to go to the temple in Jerusalem. And there you would make your sacrifices. The three times that you had to go were Passover, Then 50 days later for Pentecost. And what happened was a lot of people would go to Jerusalem for Passover, and then they would stay 50 days. And they'd wait until after Pentecost to go back home. And then the third time that you had to come to Jerusalem to worship was at the Feast of Tabernacles. And that was at the harvest time. So you had the beginning of the year, which was Passover, and we've just been through Passover and Easter. And then you had the time around the gathering, or the harvest of the crops that you had planted. You can read about these things in Exodus. We'll not time to take the time to read about all of these things in Exodus, but if you're interested and you think about it, and you're kind of like me, you get to Exodus and you go and then you get to the next rule and you just get to the next rule. Exodus is really hard to read. But we're going to look at Deuteronomy this morning. Deuteronomy, the 16th chapter, is where when Moses is repeating these things to the children of Israel prior to his death, he's retelling what these laws were like. Deuteronomy 16, at verse 1, Moses says, "Observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover unto the Lord thy God, for in the month of Abib, the Lord thy God brought thee out of Egypt by night." So this was the month when they kept the Passover. And then in the ninth verse, he says, 6 weeks shalt thou number unto thee. Begin to number the 7 weeks from such time as thou beginnest to put the sickle to the corn. So you got 7 weeks. Then you keep the Feast of Weeks unto the Lord thy God, with a tribute of a freewill offering of thine hand, which thou shalt give unto the Lord thy God, as the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. Now, this was very specifically laid out. Deuteronomy 16, verse 13. Thou shalt observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days. After that, thou hast gathered in thy corn and wine. Then here's kind of the conclusion. He brings all of these feast days together in Deuteronomy 16, beginning at verse 16. 3 times in a year shalt all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose. It started out to be the tabernacle, then it moved to being the temple. In the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feasts of Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. So you didn't just appear before the Lord, you brought a sacrifice. It was specific. Every man shall give as he is able according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee. If you were a Jew, you knew what you were supposed to do. You had to go to Jerusalem 3 times every year. Now look at what happened when Jesus came. Jesus has a conversation with a woman at a well. She's a Samaritan. And so she's discussing with Jesus the difference between what the Jews had and what the Samaritans had. He says, the Jews, you guys worship in Jerusalem. We worship in Mount Gerizim. There, I can't find any record of God telling the Samaritans, like he told the Jews, you have to worship at Mount Gerizim. I can find the record of God telling the Jews that. So this is the way this conversation goes between this woman and Jesus. He says, our fathers worshiped in this mountain, Gerizim. You say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. That was what was in the Old Testament law. She got that right. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Worship, you worship, you know not what. They had a form of worship. They really didn't know God because God hadn't revealed himself to them. He says, you worship, you know not what. We know what we worship. For salvation is of the Jews. The hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Old Testament, I know what the rules are. Three times I got to get ready and go to Jerusalem. And I can't go empty handed. I have to take a sacrifice. Under God's system, we worship in spirit and in truth. We get to feast at the Lord's table. It's an opportunity for us to remember what Jesus did. And responsible people know that if you don't do that, you'll get spiritually sick. That was 1 Corinthians. When the apostle says, you've made the table into something other than what it was supposed to be. And he says, because you distorted it, many of you are sick. He's talking about spiritually sick. The bread and the grape juice is not going to keep you from getting sick. But they were spiritually sick. So he says, as a responsible person, realize how important this is. As a responsible person, know that you get to take an opportunity to show people Jesus and what he did. So why do we come here and take the Lord's Supper on Sunday? Pedagogon rules? Or is it because we're responsible people and we appreciate what we have? We worship God in spirit and in truth. Now, when you have that kind of system, some people are going to neglect the Lord's Supper. And when they neglect it, they're going to get sick. So what's our response when some people neglect it? Well, I can tell you what the Apostle Paul's response was in Romans, the 5th chapter at verse 19. When some people don't act like responsible adults, they really have become responsible adults when they put on Christ, but they're not acting like responsible adults. Romans 5, beginning at verse 19, Paul says, as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. The law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin reigned unto death, even so grace might reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Christ our Lord. What's the response when some people neglect the feast? It's God's grace. That's the response. Now, the Apostle Paul, because he had given this response, faced a lot of opposition from the Jews. Look at the way Paul has to describe the opposition that he faced in the book of Romans. In Romans, beginning in chapter 5, beginning in verse 3, or excuse me, in chapter 3, beginning at verse 7, the apostle says, if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say then? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance if I speak as a man? God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I judged as a sinner? And not rather, as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm, we say, let us do evil that good may come. Whose damnation is just? Let us do evil that good may come. Can you imagine a responsible adult making that kind of statement? I try to put that into context. This is like, this would be like Kim after she broke her arm and a doctor with incredible skill put this pin in her arm, and now her arm is beginning to recover. For Kim to say, oh, that's great, now I can go break the other one. God fixed it. Sin. And now we say, that's great, God fixes sin. I think I'll go sin some more. That doesn't make sense. Responsible adults don't do that. Romans 6, beginning at verse 1. Paul says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We were terrible sinners, and God fixed it. He says, by whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. I'm reading from Romans 5, not Romans 6. Let me read Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. We who died to sin, how shall we live any longer therein? Or are you ignorant that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We are buried therefore with him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead through the glory of the Father, so also we should walk in newness of life. God fixed it. That was grace. And these people slandered Paul as if he was saying, because God could fix it, go out and break the other arm. There is no sense in what they were saying. Well, why did they say that? I try to understand how on earth they could have made this comment. Well, if you talk about grace, you're just encouraging people to sin. Understand first that this was Jewish Christians that were making this argument. They'd been through the Pedagogon. They'd had tutors. And that's important. Because the Greeks, the Gentiles, those that hadn't gone through the Pedagogon, those were rank sinners. And yes, we're sinners, but we're not nearly as bad as those folks are. And look at this, those folks are just becoming Christians. They should have been expected to behave responsibly as free people, but the Gentiles didn't always do that. And that bothered the Jews. The Jews thought that they were less vile than the Gentiles were because they'd had the Old Testament Pedagogon that kept them from sinking as deeply into sin as those folks did. Now, that's a pretty limited argument. If you're familiar with the book of Romans, you know the Apostle Paul concludes all are under sin. for you Jews to be saying this, that you're better than the Gentiles, that's a pretty weak argument. But that's the argument that they were making. These Gentiles didn't know how to behave as responsible adults when they became Christians. They continued to do some of the things that they had been doing before. And the Jews said, see, I told you, they needed to fight a Gogon. So they're going to have to go back and start with the rules that the tutor came up with in the first place. Well, what happens when we try to do that? I think every one of us that's raised kids has gotten to the point where we tell our kids, you know, you're adults now, and you're going to have to make your own decisions. And then they go off and they make a decision that we really wish they hadn't made. I remember my girls getting to that point, and they'd say, Daddy, can I do this? And you have to say, I can't make that decision for you. You're going to have to make that decision on your own. And then they go make the wrong decision. And they do something that they shouldn't have been doing. You want to go back and say, look, we're going to put you under the pike Gogon again. You can't do that. That would be mixing two systems. That would be trying to take a mature adult who behaves responsibly and put them under the pedagogon again. You can't do that. You know how frustrating that is. Remember I said that Disneyland actually had a rule? It was written into the code of conduct for Disney employees. And that rule said every Disney employee must wear deodorant. Why would you do that? Because some of those responsible adults that were supposed to be working at Disneyland didn't behave like responsible adults. And you said, okay, we'll treat you like children. See what a mistake that was? I remember when I was a kid in Southern California and I really wanted to work at Disneyland. That was the cool place to work. And so I went down to Disneyland and I applied. Now at the time, my hair was down on my shoulders. And they said, you're going to have to cut your hair. And you know what my response was? No. I'm a responsible adult. Whether I cut my hair or not doesn't have anything to do with how I behave as a representative of Walt Disney. And on top of that, Walt Disney has a mustache. But that's what people want to do. People become Christians. They have trouble. We say, we're going to make some rules. We're going to put you under the pedagogon again. Because those rules helped us learn how to behave like responsible adults. We didn't sink to the level that Gentiles did in terms of our sin. Well, we were sinners, but look at Caligula. Look at the Roman emperors and the things that they did. We were bad, but we were never that bad. And it was the Old Testament law that kept us from getting that bad. So that's what you need. How mistaken a notion. They wanted them to go back and be circumcised again. That was Old Testament law. That was pedagogon. That was Tudor stuff. We can't do that. I'm glad we don't have to do that. I'm glad I'm not in the position of saying everybody that worships here has to wear deodorant. Because you know what? There are some people that don't sweat. So for me to say you have to wear deodorant is foolishness. They don't sweat. There are certain races that just don't sweat. They have a hard time. And that becomes a difficulty for them because they don't sweat. But I want to make a rule. And I want that rule to be followed all the time by everybody. That's not the way that God called us. He called us to be mature adults. Does that mean that you get to neglect the feast? No, not at all. As a mature adult, you understand how important it is. You understand you get sick if you don't participate in the feast. But we're not going to make a rule that says you have to be here. Well, I'm glad that God made us responsible adults. And I know how hard it is to learn to live like a freed person. It would be easier if you could say, can I do this? And somebody said yes or no. But we can't. You have to make those decisions on your own. That's hard. It's a growth process. And the Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Hebrews, said strong meat belongs to them who are of full age, even to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. So we're going to have to learn to make those decisions on our own.